You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for May 3rd, 2019. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where we would like to thank Senator Lindsey Graham for our new official podcast ringtone.
Trump is a fucking idiot.
It's the Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal.
I want that ringtone real loud, too.
Trump is a fucking idiot.
Every Chamber of Commerce meeting I go to, I want you to call me like five times.
Trump is a fucking idiot.
Oh, that's me again. I'm sorry.
Trump is a fucking idiot.
You know, Ron Swanson has that gunshot ringtone that just scares the crap out of everybody. Oh, I'm sorry. That's me. I want this one.
Trump is a fucking idiot.
Next time I go to the Citizens Club, around 8:40.
Oh, yeah. 8:40 a.m. On a Friday.
Yeah. When the Q&A starts.
Trump is a fucking idiot.
Just ring me up loud, okay?
Trump is a fucking idiot.
Sure. You just let me know what time and I'll be there to call you on your cellular phone, as we say.
My cellular phone.
Trump is a fucking idiot.
Because we got those here in Springfield now.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, pretty good. So today we're going to talk about a couple things. One in particular that I wanted people to sort of have a sense of optimism, which is very hard to do these days.
Jesus Christ, I don't want to do optimism today. It's raining outside.
It's not spring. It doesn't feel like spring because it's been raining all week.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm in charge of sort of in the mornings at Crooks and Liars is to put up live streams of congressional hearings.
Right.
When they pop up. And we embed the YouTube and we put a banner at the top of the page and so forth and make sure that people are aware that they can watch these, you know, live and see what's happening in Congress.
You should tell people that every morning you whisper to me in that sweet tone of voice, darling, please smother me with a pillow now. So.
Before I have to go to work and write about diamond and silk this morning.
And then I bring coffee and it's okay.
I was seriously in tears about, you know, okay, I get the first thing I have to do is talk about diamond and silk upset about fried chicken because Fox and Friends, whenever they want an opinion about racism, brings on noted web celebrities, personalities, they call them personalities.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Diamond and silk. Yeah.
Would you like to share with the listeners what we had for dinner last night?
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yes, we had fried chicken last night. So we're obviously, you know, racist. We might have chicken and waffles this weekend because you know what?
Lord.
They're goddamn good. That's why.
Oh, seriously.
Anyway,
I mean,
as you were saying,
admit to eating that. But
I know. But morning rituals are
morning rituals are important, and we had. So I do this for Crooks and Liars. I post these hearings, and of course this week there were a lot of hearings, and then there were hearings where people didn't show up, and where Barr didn't show up, but there was a hearing where he did.
Mm-hmm.
But in the middle of all of that, there was a hearing on climate change as it relates to lower income populations, and climate change as it hurts public housing, climate change as it hurts, people in areas where they are built next to a plant. Their housing is built next to a plant. Public housing is built in polluted areas of the city. And then there was another hearing, the House Subcommittee on Voting Rights, which talked about, you know, there's a subcommittee on civil rights and civil liberties. And AOC and Ayanna Pressley and Eleanor Holmes Norton all sit on that subcommittee.
Oh, yeah.
The House Judiciary also had a markup of a bill on prescription drug prices. Yeah. And there was in addition to the climate change one, there was another hearing this week on the Equal Rights Amendment. And finally, the most important one this week, which was the very first hearing, the very first congressional hearing on Medicare for All. was this week. So,
wow, you know what? I didn't see any of those in the screaming headlines on my local newspaper.
No, you didn't. These things are happening, and it's easy to say, well, Mitch McConnell's sitting on everything, and we're not going to get anything until Mitch McConnell's out
of
office.
Which is true. I mean, it's fair enough. That is true.
But that said, where we are now, and this is what the lesson that I learned from having a child with autism, really, is remember how far we've come. We saw my son last weekend at college.
We did.
And he's a little down because he wants his whole life to happen to him in one day, which is very typical of a 20-year-old.
Absolutely.
He wants a girlfriend and a job and a career and a lot of money and a car and a... And he wants it all now, right?
Yeah. And Ben Sasse for president.
Yes, Ben Sasse. He does not want Ben Sasse for president. At any rate, he's impatient about his life starting, getting his life underway. And I had to remind him of, you know, where he was when he was three. And we were trying to get him to say more words than "I want Cheerios." And now he's in college. He's a sophomore in college. And he does have a driver's license. And he does have friends. And he is going to class. And he has a schedule.
And he still wants more Cheerios, just so we're clear.
He wants kinds of food, yes.
I want all the Cheerios, Mom.
All the Cheerios. But it doesn't happen all at once. And we Democrats have waited a long time. I mean, this is bad. Yeah. What we're going through is really bad. And Donald Trump should not be president. He should never have been president. And there is a sense of injustice to the whole thing that we're dealing with. But we are making progress.
There would be no Barr hearing.
No.
At all.
At all.
If Democrats hadn't swept the House.
Right.
None of this would be. And it's, as I said, it's a perfectly fair critique to say Mitch McConnell will sit on everything. And that's true. That's the next hurdle that needs to be cleared. That's absolutely fair. But I am put in mind of way back in the day when my ex worked in the hunger area. Mm-hmm. She was a part of the Illinois Hunger Coalition and food rights and a bunch of stuff like that. And Bill Clinton was elected, and it had been a couple of years, and she and her friends were furious with him because he had only restored like 70% of what George H.W. Bush and Reagan had cut. And it was like, no, my team should be giving me 120% of what I want. Fuck that guy.
Right.
And
right.
Part of me understood completely. Like, of course, you're on the side of the angels and your guy is finally in the batter's box and has a clear shot at some things. Mm-hmm. And he's not delivering on what you want right now. And that's you've got every reason to be pissed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Part of me said, you understand how politics works, right? Yeah. I mean, this is how it works. So you need those people to be indignant and demanding and insistent and holding our feet to the fire. We need our listeners to write us and tell us, you know what? That stupid thing you said about Pete Buttigieg, why don't you look into it and see what kind of guy this guy really is? You know, your funny jokes about Bernie Sanders. Are you against Bernie? I'm not against Bernie Sanders.
And we've had pushback on Twitter about these things, and it's like, nope, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be pulled into that because but I do owe a bit of an apology for my rashness last week about felons voting, because I received more than one email this week, and they were long, paragraph after paragraph, reasonable arguments drawn, I'm sure, from personal experience and from the book The New Jim Crow, which if you haven't read it, it's worth reading. The New Jim Crow is about how blacks are being prevented from voting through incarceration. That really, that's what's happening.
I lost
it with Bernie Sanders and Kamala Harris last week because they jumped into this issue as if it's an election issue instead of a legislative issue. And I don't want anything to happen that's going to prevent us from defeating Donald Trump. I am so obsessed with that.
Right.
So I realized that I jumped a little too hard on that, though. And I don't want anyone to think that I don't believe in restoration of voting rights, you know, for anyone who's been released from prison. We can debate when we have the power. We can debate whether people currently incarcerated based on their crime and so forth should have voting rights. But I wasn't trying to say, you know, no one should ever have voting rights, regardless of whether they're incarcerated or, you know, I wasn't jumping to any conclusions about that issue, except that it gave Meghan McCain an excuse to freak out that Democrats want terrorists to vote.
Yeah. And this became, and I'm of two minds on this, as I am on most things. One is, and that was Newt Gingrich just seized on that. Democrats want terrorists to vote. Right. And that was just, but you and I also, when we watch the news, as we do as part of our putting on the hazmat suit jobs, we flip over to Fox News occasionally to see what they're lying about. And it's always something insane. And we sort of have little side bets on, I wonder what Tucker Carlson's lying about tonight. I wonder what lies Laura Ingraham's. Oh, Laura Ingraham has, you know, the yeah, it's always Hillary. It's always Hillary or something, or Benghazi or something, or immigration. So it almost literally doesn't matter what Democrats do. They have on the right, they have a very efficient machine to take anything. And if nothing is currently available, they'll just make shit up and turn it into every email you're going to get from crazy Uncle Liberty for the next month in all caps. Yep. That's just that's how their machine works. So it doesn't matter what we feed it. They're going to find something to feed off of. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help when they have a clip of it, when they have video of it. So I'm of that mind. The other half is, you know, these people, it is insufficient at this point to talk about just policy or just what to do about Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. You have to do both. Mm-hmm. And you have to do both. Yeah. With the Maisie Hirono pointed stick.
Yes.
You have to go right after them. And when the mainstream media normalizes them, when the mainstream media picks up another Fox News conspiracy theory and turns it into a headline that we're all going to talk about, when Chuck Todd, we had a little shouting fest here this week at Chuck Todd. Why the fuck does Chuck Todd still have a job? It is the responsibility of everyone out there who has a voice and has a pen and has email, and especially if you have a very large media platform, to rip these people.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing unpredictable or unpredicted going on right now in politics. Everything is playing out exactly as you would expect. Mm-hmm. Fox is doing its thing. The shitheads in the center are doing their thing. The bo-siderist straddlers are doing their thing. And we in the left are doing everything else. We're carrying everybody else is doing everyone's laundry for them and making everyone's meal for them, because there's no decent conversation about any subject anywhere. I used to go to science fiction conventions.
You're kidding.
And I know. I went to several of them. I met some authors, and I was a fanboy, and I took classes there and so on. But I would go to the con suite, which was the convention suite, and this is in the, you know, 80s and 90s. And I would stay there all night sometimes, because I was so starved for a conversation with anybody who knew what the hell I was talking about when I talked about Cordwainer Smith, or who had read Alfred Bester, or who the hell I was talking about, that it was such a nourishing experience to be among people who spoke my language and could react to me, that I didn't want to leave and I wanted to dive into every conversation. That's sort of what we have here. It's such a desert out there. Outside of the left, there's nothing going on. Mm-hmm. It's such a complete absence of any serious grown-up discussion about anything. Everything is bullshit. Everything is fence-straddling bo-siderism. Everything is Hillary Clinton and Benghazi. That you have this shelter full of starving people who are desperate to solve problems, who occasionally turn on each other.
Yeah.
Because there's no place else to go. And I fully understand that.
Let me add one more thing that I think we need to be aware of the magnitude. Robert Mueller writing a letter to Bill Barr is a really big stinking deal. And to get into the weeds, as Barr and the Trump White House immediately led the media by the nose, I'm going to obstruct. I'm not going to show you the unredacted report. I'm not going to appear at the hearing. I'm not going to do this. None of that matters. What matters is Mueller wrote a letter. And you were talking about your ex.
Uh-huh.
My ex was an attorney, is an attorney. And your ex was an attorney. And I remember throughout the course of our marriage, whenever there was anything going on of any kind of conflict and so forth, his response was, yeah, I'm going to write a letter. And the letter was on law school, because he was a law professor, law school letterhead, you know, just so that everybody had the attention paid to, this is a legal document you have in your hand. It's typed appropriately. And the power structure was put in place, you know, that this is how I'm going to deal with the problem of you, dear sir, you know, to whom it may concern.
Everyone understands the level at which this has now been elevated.
But it's important not to lose sight of that, because the distraction that all that Donald Trump and the Trump White House and Trump 2020 have is the ability to distract from what really matters. And what really matters is Planet A, you know, what is really happening on Planet A, which is Donald Trump obstructed justice. There were rules in place which said a sitting president can't be indicted, that the investigator, Robert Mueller, felt he was controlled by, was limited by.
Right.
And it is now possible, we don't know yet, but it is possible that Barr actually was gunning to end this investigation. So in that case, you know, all of this sort of happened more quickly than it might have. But Mueller wrote a letter.
Well, and that's I want to add to that just by saying that's why, whether you are a very large voice in the world or a very small voice in the world, I cannot emphasize how important it is to go after the middle, go after the center, because the media, the ragtag leftover remnants of what was once considered the legitimate media, have such an allergy to ever taking a position on anything that, and I've used this analogy before, they fight over font size.
Yeah.
So the corrupt, criminal, racist, traitor president appointed a corrupt, criminal attorney general to cover his ass because he doesn't want to be hauled off to prison for his corruption and his criminality, is the same font size as Democrats in disarray.
Right.
And that's what Chuck Todd wants to talk about. He wants to talk about the font size and the process and the horse race. Anyone who thinks any polls mean anything at this point, I think Athena said today, should take it up with President Gore.
Right.
It's insane to be talking about, but it is safe. It's the Steve Kornacki blanket of safety.
Well, it is. And it's the Washington Beltway media that is so impressed with the buildings they're standing in and the institutions that they're covering that they forget that attorney general doesn't necessarily mean legitimate governing official. In this case, he is not a legitimate governing official.
And there's the problem of accountability, which is just as if with the Iraq War, all the people who warned that this guy was problematic were ignored because he's an institutionalist. He's to their credit, there are people on MSNBC now going, I made a mistake. I thought we could trust this guy. The people who said, do not trust this fucker. He was the guy who black bagged the Iran-Contra deal. He's been a cover-up artist ever since. He is not an honest man. He's not an honorable man. And he's going to go in there and act as Trump's personal fucking mob lawyer. And he's going to do it with a smirk on his face because he knows he can't be touched. He's 100% insulated. No one put Jeff Sessions in jail for lying to Congress during his confirmation hearing. No one's going to touch this guy. No one's going to haul him off to jail. So he can sit there on his fat ass and smile and smirk and shrug and drink his water and roll his eyes, knowing that Mitch McConnell will never, ever allow him to be brought up on charges for anything. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't, but it means that we have to understand that story is 1,000 times more important than anything about Democrats in disarray are. And anyone who doesn't treat it that way is lying to you, is trying to make you shrug your shoulders and go, well, it's both sides. Well, what are you going to do? And again, reading numbers on TV is the safest way to avoid having your house not egged by Nazis.
Yep.
So reading poll numbers as if they mean something and then comparing them to other poll numbers, which also mean nothing, is how they fill the time during the day. Rather than talk about genuinely big, important, scary issues that would cause people on the right to want to come to their house and yell at them.
And the poll that shows Beto O'Rourke as besting Donald Trump in a general head-to-head contest by 10 points. That's fantastic, and that's bad news for Trump. But they asked less than 500 people. That's the segment of the population that got asked the question. Yeah. So you've really got to look at those so-called poll numbers with a huge grain of salt. And just getting back to the Mueller letter to Barr, because writing that letter to his boss, basically, and saying, you know, you have mischaracterized my work. That if the House Judiciary Committee can roll back for just a moment and look at that letter and realize that is the cause for having Mueller come before the committee, period. That letter alone, that 1.5-page letter, is the only legitimate excuse they need to call him before the committee. They don't need anything else. That is it, because that's oversight. And this is the other thing we don't remember, is that the judiciary committees are the oversight for the attorney general. So he is obligated to them.
Yeah, but that's you get back to that old, I think it's Stalin quote. You know, how many divisions does the Pope have?
Right.
What are you going to do? Throw me in jail? And my short answer, this is why I need to be, you know, Speaker of the House for a day. My short answer is yep.
Yep. I'm going to get the sergeant at arms to come to find you and take you under arrest. Yeah. And
I believe there is a house jail. We're going to haul your ass down there, and there's no bail. We're going to keep you in house jail.
Until you agree to testify.
Until you can testify.
Under our conditions.
And if you want to sit up there and say, as the Attorney General, I'm taking the Fifth Amendment for an hour. Great, we'll do that. We'll just play handball with your yam sacks for an hour and let Maisie Hirono go off and bury your remnants in the backyard, which won't affect Mitch McConnell at all, because Mitch McConnell is a soulless monster.
Okay, that's true. But I think one of the reasons that Donald Trump is really losing the narrative here, regardless of how many times he says it's over, it's ended, it's done, is that he's lost the cameras. And this is going back to hearing after hearing after hearing.
Exactly.
When it's on television, it's real. Mm-hmm. So when you've got Mueller being televised, when you're going to get some Deutsche Bank people on TV talking about Donald Trump's finances.
We were only following orders.
I'm fucked. My presidency's over, right?
Yeah.
Did you notice Nancy Pelosi's press conference on Thursday?
I did. I noticed the part where she said Bill Barr committed a crime.
Bill Barr committed a crime. And the next question from the reporters changed the subject.
Yes.
Because I have a question.
I have a question.
And I want my question answered. Instead of the Red Sea parting at that point and drop everything because the House Speaker just said that the Attorney General committed a crime.
Right.
And it was an MSNBC reporter who dialed it back and said, you just said that the Attorney General committed a crime. Do you think he should go to jail? And she said, there's a process for this, and we're going to follow the process, you know.
Stuttering awfully hard. Well, there's a process. And I understand that she has to lead an entire house, you know, the entire house.
She is the only elected Democratic official in Washington with the level of power that she has.
Yeah, she's in the line of succession. She's third in line or fourth in line.
So she has to do that.
But
she
has effective mouthpieces who can go out and say whatever they want to say, and that's a very good thing.
And I yield all of my time to Maisie Hirono.
That's why going after the center, seriously, going after the center is terribly important, because hearing after hearing after hearing are great things to have, and they're revealing, and they're not just show trials. They'll actually get at facts, and people will find them interesting. I've certainly found them fascinating. But then you get the 30-second snippet that will be reduced to for Meet the Press, and then you'll have Kellyanne Conway on opposite somebody, or Hugh Hewitt opposite somebody, and then it's just going to be a debate over whether or not this is really important. And Chuck Todd leaning back, jerking off in his chair, smirking because I can't believe they get paid to do this.
Yeah.
I mean, all I have to do is put red ants and black ants in a jar, make them fight, and the nice people at Comcast give me a big fat fucking check every week.
Well, this connects us to the title that you put for this podcast about Stephen Moore.
Stephen Moore and Mark Halperin.
Yeah. Well, Stephen Moore was on Fox last night after withdrawing his name as as being under consideration for the Federal Reserve Bank appointment. And he has also been fired from CNN.
Well, okay. That's a question I had. Because CNN made an announcement about he will not be returning as a contributor.
And he went on Fox last night to talk to Tucker about the fact that he won't be back at CNN.
So, well, then here's my question. And I put a wager out there. I bet Jay Rosen, a shiny new Roosevelt vine, that the reason he's not going to go back to CNN is he's already got a job offer from Fox.
Well, I'm not sure about that because he was complaining quite bitterly about CNN on Tucker. Yes. Well, yeah. And saying if they don't think that I'm a legitimate person to have on, why did they have me on so many times?
And that is a wonderful thing for someone to put on Fox News to use as a bludgeon. Because you know what?
Right.
He's absolutely right.
He's right. And I said Driftglass has been asking that question for a long time. And it's because you're the red ant. It's because and other people have pointed that out. Actually, Jay Rosen. Pointed that out on the White House Correspondents' Dinner alternative that Sam B did. He had a whole segment on that fake dinner about false equivalence and talking about when you have on Paul Krugman as Nobel Prize winner economist, you know, Pulitzer Prize winner economist, and Stephen Moore, Wall Street Journal hack.
Infamous local crackpot, Stephen Moore.
Infamous local Wall Street Journal right-wing crackpot, Stephen Moore. On the other side, the human being watching that tends to make those two people equivalent.
The both sides argument is the most seductive one for a lazy, dilettante, or political coward who doesn't want to take a position. So all they have to do is glance at the TV and have their bias confirmed that no one really knows what the answer is. There's one guy on one side with a beard. There's one guy on another. They both are white. They both have white hair. They're both saying different things. Who knows? The whole system is corrupt. And they can go back to pretending that it doesn't really matter and that nothing really counts. And that come election day, what does it really matter if I vote for Donald Trump? What does it matter? Who cares? And that's the point. The point is to give aid and comfort to the cowards and the weaklings and the straddlers and the assholes and the dilettantes and the cynics who want to sound smart at the office by tossing up, well, the whole system's corrupt, you know. Everyone's corrupt. It's all bad. It's all rotten, don't you know? Because that's the way, you know, stupid people sound smart. And there's an entire television network. Actually, there's 2.5 television networks devoted to giving that person ammunition for that stupid argument.
Yep.
And that's why it's, let me repeat for the umpteenth time on this podcast just today, it's really important that when you get a chance to put a sharp Maisie Hirono stick up Chuck Todd's ass and make him dance, you do it. You take your shot when you get your shot and make it perfectly clear in really understandable language that humans can understand that both sides do not do this, that one side is wrong and insane and racist and evil, and the other side, for all of its flaws, is not. And there is no equivalence between the two.
So, Driftglass, what is the rule of douchebags?
Well, the rule of douchebags, I was having a little chat with Allison Hanschel, Athena, on the Twitter.
And Athena is a longtime Chicago blogger. We've met her at a couple of meetups.
You know, in real life, she's amazing. She's awesome. She's out to destroy journalism. she's an actual real live, you know, shoe leather journalist. And smart and funny and wonderful. She's terrific. You should follow her on Twitter if you don't already. But she was talking about Mark Halperin and, you know, why is it that she will never understand why anyone thinks these shitty media men are so irreplaceable. Why? Let me backfill the story. As predicted by yours truly 2 years ago, Mark Halperin is soliciting his good friends on MSNBC, apparently Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski and others, I assume, to get him back on the air because he has no other tangible skills at all on this earth other than sitting in a chair, smirking and saying, you know, it's really both sides. Mm-hmm. It's both sides. And Donald Trump, it's great for John McCain. That's literally all he does. He sucks at his job, except that is his job. So he's really good at his job, which is being that big of a douchebag. So the question she had was, I don't understand why these people think the shitty media men are so irreplaceable. Why? What the fuck, man? Any idiot can do this job. Aha. But you see, I worked in city government. And there were a lot of shitty employees in city government. There were a lot of terrible commissioners who worked for the city of Chicago. None of them were ever fired. And here's the reason why. Because in any confederacy of douchebags, if one douchebag gets fired for being a douchebag, it freaks all the other douchebags out. So you got to protect the hive. You got to protect the group. And that's the point. Oh, everyone running major media is a douchebag.
Well, and the other person he's getting to rehab his career, Driftglass, is Michael Smirkanish, proving your point.
And I like to carry the rule of douchebags one step further.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea of, don't worry, douchebags, I will make sure that you never, ever have to pay any price for any of the douchebag shit you say or do. That was Donald Trump's implicit campaign promise to the tens of millions of Republican douchebags who voted for him and love him dearly. The whole thing was, don't worry, you'll never be fired. You'll never get sacked. You'll never be held accountable for anything. You can do whatever the fuck you want, and I'll make sure that nobody ever holds you accountable for it. That's the great attraction to all douchebags everywhere. You mean I get to be a douchebag? I get to rise in the organization? I get respect? I get money?
You won't have to pay a price for your racism against Barack Obama. No. You won't have to pay a price for taking union employment.
Right.
And still voting against unions time and time again. We're never going to close a plant. You're not going to take any responsibility at all for climate change, ever.
We're going to let all of you dress up as colonials in tricorn hats and pretend that you're all a member of a thing called the Tea Party and that you never voted for any of this shit. And we're going to let you get away with it. And that's the promise. That is why these people stay with the Republican Party. Because once they step off, this is what... I will write this up later today. We're doing this on Friday, by the way. Joe Scarborough yesterday tore off his mask and suddenly discovered he's been a liberal blogger all along.
He basically ripped off your posts constantly, like in a big, long stream of consciousness rant. He did rip a page out of your blog, totally.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And in a fight with Mark Levin, who he named by name and said, as soon as Trump is out of office, you will be ragging on him and saying you never knew him and you never liked him and you didn't like the tweeting and you don't like his policies and he didn't have policies and he was a total failure, just like you did with George W. Bush, which was remarkable that he did that.
But he also, blue gal, except he talked to Mika. Yeah. I'd like to take a point of personal privilege here.
Yeah.
I was against George Bush back in 2003.
Uh-huh.
I thought I was against the war. I was against his crazy big spending, which is bullshit. There's video of him out there applauding George Bush. But Joe Scarborough knows there is no one in his peer group.
Not in his peer group.
Who's going
exactly.
to call him
exactly.
at all. And no one else has a microphone or a camera, so it doesn't really fucking matter.
Right. It's going to be a bunch of liberal bloggers that he calls Cheeto dust.
Right.
And he did during the war, too. Right. Look at all these Cheeto dust ridden pajama wearing bloggers, right?
But apparently in 2003 and 2004, which is a lie, I found a lovely video. It's very, very hard to find of him interviewing Gene Simmons from Kiss, talking about what an awesome guy George Bush was and how well the war was going and how we're obliged to support him because it's amazing. So he's just a fucking liar. Except, here's the creepy thing. He looks exactly like Ben Dominic.
Of course he does. Because it's douchebag. No, it's douchebag. You're right.
It is douchebag. Well, that slab-faced, nice hair, Republican, talking point spouting asshole. Now he's the wise old man at MSNBC. So now suddenly I was against the war and Bush and I was against the spending and my party crucified me for doing this. I took such brave and noble positions and they kicked me out of the party, but I was noble and awesome and brave. And it's like, no, you didn't. You're a fucking liar. That's everything you just said is bullshit. And then he riffs on, but you know what? All these assholes who were pro-Bush during the Bush years all pretended they'd never heard of George Bush the minute he was out of power. And goddamn well, they'll do it again. Like, where have I heard this argument before? Oh, yeah, I've heard it from me every day on my blog for the past 14 years. And no one's going to fire Joe Scarborough because he's king of the douchebags.
And Driftglass, I forgive you for overlooking this part of the Mark Halperin story, although I don't think you have overlooked it. But we haven't gotten to it yet. The Me Too movement and what Mark Halperin actually did, I'm not going to get into too much of it because I don't want to trigger anybody because it triggers me. What Mark Halperin did to lose his career was at work, involed body parts, touching each other, and was assault.
Yep.
And the unknown factor in how things unfold here is how traumatized women are at this point in time in history. Traumatized by Donald Trump's election, traumatized, and I include myself in this. And when you're traumatized like that, you get radicalized as well. You look at the suffragettes who were force-fed and put in jail and beaten and so forth, and they came out saying, oh, you're going to try to stop me from marching? You're going to try to stop me from standing outside the White House? I survived days and days and nights in jail getting beaten and force-fed. Alice Paul came out, and Woodrow Wilson in the White House was no match for her after that. She went out west and started registering Republicans in the West where women could vote. And that's what got Woodrow Wilson to go along with the 19th Amendment was, oh, I'm going to start losing elections out west if I don't do this. You know, I got your attention now, motherfucker. You racist motherfucker. But look, once women become that fearless, where they will go on Twitter and say, here is exactly what Mark Halperin did in detail. And no, he does not get to come back on television. No, he does not get to come. Mika. And Mika's been doing a lot of this rehab for him without permission from MSNBC bosses. Because he's her friend and best friend and so forth. Yes. And shouldn't we give him a chance? And the people upstairs are hearing from Twitter and from advertisers, because women buy shit. And they do not want someone who, far beyond a honey or a, you know, some of this stuff that goes on in the workplace that is horrible, does not begin to approach what Mark Halperin did. The media in this election cycle is failing and has failed on race.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They are making Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg the heirs to Barack Obama and ignoring Kamala Harris's Instagram. Yeah. You look at Kamala Harris's Instagram for 5 seconds. There is no question who the heir to Barack Obama is in this race, period. They are ignoring, they are saying, you know, Bernie Sanders and Beto O'Rourke and that, and Elizabeth Warren is 1 point behind Donald Trump in the polls as far as one-on-one contests is concerned.
Those meaningless polls.
In a meaningless poll where they asked 500 people. And Warren is exactly, as someone said on Twitter, she's the smarter Bernie Sanders. I thought that was not very fair, but it's funny. It is funny. Yeah. It's not fair, but it's funny. Ignore women at your peril in this race. The media is failing on misogyny. And that's my point. Well, they've already failed on race and they're failing on misogyny. And we've got to fix that.
Well, let me act for a moment as Mark Halperin's agent.
No.
See, what we're going to have here is a brief douchebag meeting. Please explain to me as if I were a child why Bill Kristol gets infinite fucking mulligans and his family get infinite fucking mulligans despite being wrong forever. But my client made one little or two little or maybe 15 little mistakes.
Not little. And is banished for life.
Of course not. I'm his douchebag agent.
If Bill Kristol did what Mark Halperin did,
he'd be gone.
He'd be out.
But that's the point. Yep. The point is, it is a system of douchebags. And the power that I, as Mark Halperin's agent, have is I can nuke the whole thing. I can just go right over to CNN and say, you wouldn't believe what the fuck Bill Kristol gets away with over there.
Right.
Were you aware? The whole idea behind the system is it has to be self-protecting. It means that nobody ever calls. This is why nobody calls out Joe Scarborough. And nobody ever wonders why the fuck Mika Brzezinski is protecting a sexual predator when that seems to be the opposite of her pet issue.
Yeah.
Why the hell is Hugh Hewitt still showing up on the air? Why does Chuck Todd still have a job? And there's a very, very, very long list of people who have absolutely no business on camera based on their own records. And that's why it's really important to everyone involved never to talk about people's records. But the one exception is the Me Too movement, looping it right back to what you were saying, that there's such an enormous amount of radicalization and wokeness and intolerance of this behavior.
Because it is a near universal experience of women in the workplace.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
So that's the exception to the douchebag rule. But it's still in play. That the reason they think they can maybe smuggle them back on there is because if we start holding each other accountable for our behavior, nobody will be left to turn the cameras on. So,
well, it'll be interesting to see whether that radicalization on the part of women winds up going viral in terms of war pimps, in terms of climate change, in terms of other issues where we are not going to tolerate this kind of both-siderist nonsense about things that are killing people, things that are hurting the planet, things that are hurting our future. If we have a little more success, I think that's what it's going to take, is having successful elections as a result of this activism, as a result of this radicalization, then we get to the point of, oh, now we know what power feels like. We know we can make change. We know we can improve the lives of our children. You start doing those kind of things, then it's like, oh, I'm not going to tolerate Hugh Hewitt anymore because his crimes against reason, I don't tolerate that.
Well, and winning is addictive.
Yeah.
And it's cumulative. And getting back to your whole theme of optimism, 2018 was a massive victory for the good guys. And I mean, the good humans, the good men and women, the angels. And it is easy. And I looked at you today and I just smiled and pointed at you and said, this is, you know, you're absolutely right. God damn it. It's so important for me to have in my life someone who reminds me that victory is still available to us if we choose to work for it. But we have to be very clear that we are currently fighting uphill.
Right. We're in the trenches. There's no doubt about that. And trenches isn't a fun place to be.
Yeah.
I did love what Hillary Clinton said to Rachel Maddow this week, which is, you know, she's living rent free in Donald Trump's brain is not a pleasant place to be. And she also called out Lindsey Graham by name, you know, that it's a disgrace that he would pretend that her emails and FISA warrants are the real criminal here because he knows better.
They all know better. And they all know if they're ever held accountable for any of this, this really is like the end of World War II when burn the files. If anybody ever finds out what the shit we did here, we're all going to go up against the wall. So we need to hang on to power at all costs. Because if anybody starts digging into Lindsey Graham's personal business, starts going after his tech, start investigating him once he's out of power.
Seriously.
He won't be able to live in this country anymore. So it's vitally important to this confederacy of criminals but they hang on to power and they all know it.
Well, and I want to see the House Republicans text between them and anyone at Fox News.
Yeah, well.
You talk about collusion. Yeah. You're going to have a constant stream of collusion. Sean Hannity being a client of Michael Cohen. Yeah, of course he was. You know, a client in all kinds of ways. We do want to talk for a minute about the Methodist Church and LGBT issues.
It's a really good segue because we don't want to evangelize. Yeah. We're talking about the institution of the church and why it has such a hard time reforming itself and the power of people who are sufficiently radicalized
to change things.
To force an institution to change.
Yeah.
So there's a really good lesson there, even if you're one of our many, many atheist friends who listen to this podcast.
And you said that to me last night. We were talking about what we were going to talk about. And did we want to talk about a meeting that we had at our local church this week about the fact that the international oversight group of people that govern the Methodist Church seem to be losing votes over and over again in that institution. You can be at a gay marriage, but you can't
conduct a gay marriage.
You can't conduct a gay marriage. Right.
If you do, you're fined. If you second time, you're
fined. You're fined a year's salary if you don't. And so this African American pastor who is our district supervisor came in to talk to all white? I think everyone there was white.
97%
was white. Yeah.
I'm rounding down. So, yeah.
There were more gay people in that room than there were black people.
There were.
I will tell you that.
Yes, there were.
To talk to us about what had happened and what had happened, we had a judiciary committee meeting that decided that this vote against gay pastors and gay marriages was constitutional, so it's been upheld. What's going to happen next? Because the church is going to split. That's what's going to happen.
A big split.
Yeah.
And it's about property and who gets to own what and who goes where. And who's going to
And it's about power. It's about who gets to say.
The guy who came and spoke to us, who was a district supervisor, was very upfront about that.
He was.
Very upfront.
He was.
And I don't want to violate any confidentiality because it was sort of a closed meeting. But he was very clear that this had nothing to do with scripture.
Right.
This was about power and control.
There are churches in the United States that are still anti-gay. They are in the minority in the United States. They are in the majority in Africa, primarily because the culture in Africa is it's illegal in large parts of Africa to be gay or to talk about being gay.
Right.
So the church is going to split. That's the point. The church, the United Methodist Church is going to split. And it may take 3 years, may take 5 years, but the church is going to split. And the thing that I brought up at the meeting that I'm still not quite sure if everybody sort of caught on to what I was saying, but I was asking questions about if a same-sex couple comes to a church, a United Methodist Church, for baptism of their adopted child, can a pastor do that without consequences?
Now, why is that a tricky question, Blue Gal?
Because we are cherry-picking the sacraments.
Right.
And which ones we, quote unquote, will give to gay couples and which ones we won't.
Right.
And I said that, and then I brought up communion, because one of the things that everybody's very proud of in the United Methodist Church is open communion. Doesn't matter if you're a Catholic, an ex-Catholic, an angry Catholic, or a United Methodist from the cradle, or you've been an atheist and you came here for Easter and you're just here because your mom's sitting with you. If you are in love and communion with your fellow human beings and in love with God, therefore, I guess if you're an atheist, you're not allowed supposed to go up and have communion.
No one's going to ask you to.
No one's going
to
stop.
If you're hungry, you need a snack, a little sip of something, a bite of food, come on up.
So, but open communion means, you're, no matter what church you belong to, whatever is going on with you, you are welcome at the table of God, at the table of Christ, whatever. Right. You can have communion. And that is not true in virtually any other church.
Also true.
So I asked the question, you know, can a gay couple come before a pastor and take communion, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ? Can they do that without consequence to the pastor? Yes, they can. The church is cherry picking the sacraments that they will, quote unquote, give to gay and lesbian couples. And that's it exposes them as this being about power and about who is hired and who gets to, you know, benefit financially from church activity.
And we got a very blunt history of Methodism
and race. Yeah.
Which isn't telling tales out of school and race that. That, you know, there was John Wesley started ordaining black priests.
Yep. And baptizing black women.
And that freaked people out.
In 1790s, during the slave days, was baptizing black women.
Then there was this apartheid period. Well, we'll have a section where it's allowed to do this.
Yeah.
And a section where it's not allowed to do this. And that lasted for a while, a long while. Then it was like, this is insane. But the point is, this is a human institution problem. This is a problem with people who want to hang on to power, who want things to stay the same, who don't want any of those people coming in and messing with their privilege, using their power in a democracy to hang on to that power, versus the people who are the reformers who are always coming up and trying to hold them to their own professed ideals.
Yeah.
And that will always be an uncomfortable conversation. So as we, you know, did at our little church basement meeting, what we are always trying to do is hold our government, specifically the lunatic portion of our government called Republicans, to their own standards, to their own professed belief in democracy. And they're so profoundly not.
They're failing.
They don't believe any of this shit. They don't believe in oversight. They don't believe in accountability. They don't believe in economic prudence. They don't believe in the future. They don't believe in science, except when those things can be pulled out of a tool bag to beat up Democrats.
They don't believe in sexual morality or pro-family policies.
And that's the rule of douchebag writ large. It's this collective, we're all scumbags here. We're all looters and monsters and molesters and creeps and assholes and traitors. But we're all in this together. And if we don't hang together, we will surely hang separately. And that's what they're hanging on to. It's however shitty we are, at least we'll never be held accountable for the shit we do. The minute the Democrats come in, and the minute one of those goddamn Democrats shows up who does not want to talk about a purple America and reaching across the aisle, but says, no, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start holding people fucking accountable for the shit they pulled. The minute that person shows up, we're all fucked. So let's, A, number one, never lose power. And B, if it looks like we're losing power, let's quick send some guys over across the aisle to back the most centristy, let's all forgive each other, let's all move along candidate we can lay our hands on. Because other than that, if that's not the case, we're doomed. And that's the game we're in now. You know, the great game, you know, the great game is on. So let's take our blessings where we can find them, shall we?
Trump is a fucking idiot.
I do want to mention that this was the week that Donald Trump broke the 10,000 lie barrier. For years, scientists said this was not possible. But by God, we at the professional left, we never lost faith. We knew he had it in him.
We knew he had it in him. And we didn't talk at all about the National Day of Prayer yesterday, God, in which he said to Mike Pence, trusting in God and we can run and not be weary. And hey, Mike, we deserve it. And he also said people are talking about God more and more because of him.
Yeah, they are.
It's because of me that people are using the word God
That's true.
Because of
That's true. Oh, God.
You're welcome, God.
Is this ever going to stop? Oh, God. What is this guy going to be smited? Oh, God. Can't you wipe them all out in one blow? You did it with Sodom and Gomorrah. Why can't you do it with Mar-a-Lago?
Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Wally. Wally is clearly an all-black cousin of our own Barack Hussein, the Kenyan usurper, and Olive, the parkour kitty. He looks just like them. And she does, and she's very beautiful. She is also a cat of adventure. She was discovered when she got trapped inside a wall after falling through a vent on the roof. So she's been through a lot of drama, but her human says we've had her for 4 years now, and she is a joy, except when she's trying to screw with the dogs, because she can. And, of course, Wally prefers our fake sponsor, Freshly Poured Cat Food. Whether you buy Pet Store Perfection or Dollar Store Dreck, your cat will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the cat food they eat is only freshly poured. Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. And you can visit Wally at our Facebook page or website. Please do. You can send your internet kitty or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions! Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. And go firefighter unions too, by the way.
Yeah.
Donald Trump said that he called firefighter unions dues grubbing or dues grabbing. And that he doesn't get paid for anything on the Twitter.
He works for free, Donald Trump does. he only takes tips from foreign countries that buy his hotel room.
He takes condo sales from foreign governments. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job. If you had a paycheck this week, because it was the first of the month, be aware that we didn't have a paycheck this week. We only get a paycheck when you support this show. And I have a message from Middle Child. We are halfway through our fundraiser to repair little Bertha, to reimburse us for the repair of little Bertha, her car, the car that she drives around. And she is so grateful for the miracle of you guys donating to that GoFundMe. Thank you very, very much. And she has prom this weekend, and she kept it extremely frugal because she wants to help pay for the car repair. So she bought used shoes. She went to a thrift store for her shoes for prom to make, which is just remarkable. She's a remarkable kid.
I mean, we're at the store, and I'm like, and she's like, do you need all four of those carrots? Like, yeah.
She's into minimalism, is what she's into, really.
Which is great. I mean, I respect that. Yeah. I it will serve her well. That kind of attitude will serve her well in your life. But you know what? I'm going to splurge and buy all four
carrots. All four of them.
Okay. Don't waste them, though. Don't waste them.
Make sure you roast every single one of them. That's right. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution. You can, too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. our PayPal postal address, GoFundMe for Little Bertha, buy us a coffee. All of those options are there at proleftpod.com. Please share our show on social media, and thank you so much for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Oh, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties have no intention whatsoever of honoring your stupid subpoenas.
Oh, dang it.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Let's think about loving.
Think about loving.
Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whine and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license, copyright 2018, DGBG Productions Incorporated.